The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
And welcome once again to It Came From Radio. This is the special freezing edition. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. With me on the phone, we have the kennel, and our very own senior correspondent, Charlie Saladino.
Hey.
did you let the dogs out?
No. No, I did not let the dog out. But I just wanted, my dog wanted to say a couple of things on the radio. He's a little aggravated now. And he wants to let everybody know about it.
Oh, okay. And our very own Hassan Godwin will be gingerly walking in very shortly. If anybody's having trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com and listen to us on our live audio streaming. Also on the GBB website, you can see me and the web camera live right now waving. Hi. And the phone number here is area code 631-888-8811. I will just take it away with the news. Let's see. If you remember, we're going to do some follow-up news to no follow-up news. Last week we talked about the kid who had the Make-A-Wish Foundation, the Bat Kid, that the San Francisco turned into Gotham City. And what's his name? Miles Scott. And the whole city came out, and they had people dressed up as costumes, and they went out of their way to make this Make-A-Wish Foundation kid become a superhero. Well, it turns out, to make things even better, the cost of the estimation of this was $105,000 to do. And the city of San Francisco says none of it is going to come out of the pockets of taxpayers. All the cops, all the law enforcement was on the clock doing their regular tour. So there's no overtime, no extra money was spent, and they're not footing the bill for anybody for this whole thing. So that's good news, because usually there's some type of backlash that has to deal with it. But this is the follow-up good news that all the costs of this will not be absorbed by the taxpayers of San Francisco. So hooray for that.
Yay.
All right, let's see. Executives say, actually the city says, what started out as a few hundred people at most on the steps of City Hall grew into what obviously would attract a 20,000-plus crowd. They weren't going to see anything the way things were set up, so they had to use additional funds to make this happen. So that's good. I'm actually kind of surprised that there is no negative naysayers about this whole thing. It's very rare that something nice happens, and then something nice happens on top of that.
Well, that's what happens when something nice happens on top of something else.
But it's rare.
There you go.
It's rare, though.
It's rare.
That's
rare.
That's what gets me.
Yeah.
Speaking of rare.
Mr. Segway.
For those of you who love Batman, of which Miles Scott is a big fan, but you would need to have, $145,000 to spare. You can participate in an auction for a Michael Keaton Batmobile replica that's going to be on auction on November 30th.
What was that, $145,000?
Yes, $145,000 Batmobile.
I thought Michael Keaton wanted that for an autograph.
No, that's Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right, sorry.
The car is a Jaguar. It has a 3.2 Jaguar engine, automatic transmission, and can hit 60 miles an hour in under 5 seconds. It also includes a fully operational flamethrower. In the back, it has hydraulic suspension, enabling the car to be lifted 9 inches off the ground. It has a smoke gas release mechanism, a full remote release electronic canopy, so the canopy does open as it did in the movie. A remote ignition, so you can start it from standing away in case you don't want to see the fire come out. LED running lights, a dashboard display with front and rear cameras, just as in the movie. So this is one of those things that somebody went out and built it, and now they want to sell it for $145,000.
Well, you know who's going to buy it.
Who's going to buy it?
I'll tell you exactly who. You remember that guy who bought the comic book for $1 million?
Yes.
Remember? Well, why not get a car? You can read the comic book in the car while he's going 0 to 50 at whatever.
Oh, man. So,
just a thought.
All right, it's possible, but I think he used up all his money buying the $1 million comic book.
Well, let him sell the comic book, buy the car, he'll have money left over.
You have money for a bat suit.
Yeah, there you go.
The only downside to the car is that the visibility is very restricted because of the way it is, the way the cockpit is designed. You really can't see side view mirrors and whatnot because the car didn't have side view mirrors, so you have to rely on the cameras. But it is a fully functional road-ready vehicle.
Well, that visibility problem is also a problem for the rest of us. Because he'll be banging into us left and right if he's riding down the block. He can't see.
Do you think he's actually going to just take the Batmobile out for a spin?
Well, I'm paying $145,000 for it. I'm taking it out for a spin.
You wouldn't just like put it on display and be like, "Hey, look at my Batmobile."
I'm taking the car out for the spin.
Okay.
I'm going to ShopRite. I'm going to King Cullen. I'm going to Wallbounds. I'm going to, you know.
Can you imagine the guy?
I'm taking the Batmobile. Imagine showing up like at a wedding here, park this. You know?
I'm going to go down for some milk and you're going to jump in the Batmobile.
Yeah, why not? What the hell?
All right.
You know, sometimes you just need some milk or stuff. You got to get it.
And
I don't know. Go on. It's just so ridiculous. Go ahead.
Oh, man. All right. Speaking of ridiculous, for those of you fans of Breaking Bad, the series has ended recently, and they're going to have the Breaking Bad series on DVD and Blu-ray and whatnot, and they decided to make a quote-unquote alternate ending for the Breaking Bad, which, as you know, has the actor Bryan Cranston, who originally was in Malcolm in the Middle, reprising his role as Malcolm in the Middle's dad, waking up in the middle of the night from a Twinkie-induced nightmare. So, for those of you who would know, it is a callback to the old Newhart ending.
Mm.
When he wakes up and the entire show before it was a dream.
Yep.
So they're recreating that scene for you fans out there. So you can see Malcolm in the Middle, once again, the father, Hal, and his wife, recreate that classic scene from the television series in reference to the new Breaking Bad.
And weren't we talking about that in a recent show on how something that was done way back when?
Yes.
Right?
Yes,
way back
were,
when
yeah.
All of a sudden it's done again and they think they're brilliant for thinking it up, you know?
Yes. But right. They're not saying it's an original idea. They're saying that they're purposely, you know, throwing a callback to the classic ending. So it's a little different. It's not like they came, "Oh, this is the greatest idea. This is brand new." No, this is a throwback to the original.
I don't care. I'm still not watching it.
Speaking of stuff that you might not be watching.
You're getting better at this, Mr. Segway. Go.
For those of you who do not know, I'm a huge Power Ranger fan. And there is a website called Bat in the Sun where they take two classic characters and pit them against each other. For example, they had Darth Vader from the Star Wars series versus Gandalf from The Hobbit to see who would win. The latest installation is the White Ranger, played by Jason David Frank, versus Scorpion from the Mortal Kombat series in a live-action duel to the death. So if you guys are interested in seeing who would win a fight between Scorpion and the White Ranger, go on to Bat in the Sun on YouTube, and you can actually see the fight. Well choreographed. It is a PG-13 fight, and somebody dies.
Wow.
Not up your alley?
No, not real. I won't be watching that either.
See, I was right.
There you go. That's right.
Yeah,
there you go.
Let's see.
That's why you're the host.
Oh, all right.
Because you're right.
Speaking of, I can't even, nope, don't have that one. Nope, I thought I had it, didn't have it. For anniversaries, as it goes, yesterday, which was 11/23, was the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who. Turns out that Doctor Who came out 50 years ago yesterday.
And on the BBC, they had all those episodes.
Yes. And to celebrate that, as you fans already know, they aired a special 50th anniversary Doctor Who yesterday, mm-hmm. which brought back five Doctors, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And they managed to bridge the gap between when the original series ended and the revitalization, the reboot, whatever you call it, the continuation was in 2005, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken. So they actually made a bridge between the two shows. So for those fans who was always wondering what happened in between, now you know.
Yep.
Were you a Doctor Who fan?
Oh, I was a Doctor Who fan before, like, people even knew about that. I mean, it was just, like, only people in England, like, that's when I was a fan, way back when you could only get the feed in on, like, Channel 13 on a good night where they used to bring in the British shows, you know?
Yes.
And then, like I said, thank heavens for BBC America, because now all the geeks could get their fill of, I had to work at it. But, yes, I was a big fan. And then I loved the movie with the Daleks, which was great.
So did you see the 50th anniversary?
No, I didn't. No, actually, I was very aggravated. I had a some place to be, and I wasn't too happy about that. And the place I was didn't have a TV. It's like when a guy's a diehard football fan and he has to go someplace with his wife, and the first thing he looks for is a TV. That's what I was looking for, but not for football, for my Doctor Who episode. Anyway, it didn't happen. I'll have to catch the rerun.
All right, let's see.
I'm sure they'll play it over and over again.
Oh, yeah, they'll play it into the ground.
Yeah.
And speaking of playing things into the ground,
Mr. Segway,
last week on the news, we were also talking about how the $75 million musical Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark was doing quite well. We also went into the whole theater aspect on last week's episode.
Right.
It turns out that we were wrong. The show will close in January, with plans to reopen in 2015 in Las Vegas. Turns out, although the show has been popular, grossing about $1 million or so a week in ticket sales, it is the most expensive musical in Broadway history, costing $1.2 million a week to produce. So they were still losing money.
And a ton of lawsuits.
Yes. So not including the lawsuits and the settlements and all that, they still weren't turning a profit. They were pulling in $1 million a week, but it cost $1.2 million a week to make.
Wow.
So they decided that they're going to close up shop and move to Las Vegas.
Let me ask you something about that. Now, it cost them how many millions to make?
It cost them $75 million to start up.
Okay.
And then to keep the show running, just the running operating cost is $1.2 million a week.
And they're just not making that.
Right, and they're pulling in $1 million a week.
Oh, man.
So they still haven't made up the $75 million, which cost to start it, and they're not even making enough to keep it open for the week.
So now they're going to Vegas, where it's going to cost them money to open. Where did they get this money from? Seriously.
The investors. There's investors out there. They're like, oh, this is going to be the second coming of a Broadway production. It's going to be like the Family of the Opera or Cats, which is going to last a bazillion years in New York forever and ever, make tons of money. Then people started falling off the rafters and the cables and then all that problems.
Do they think the investors in Vegas don't have the papers in New York?
Ah, but it's Vegas. You know, they're gamblers over in Vegas.
Yeah, so, I mean, really, seriously. I mean, they should get, it's like the producers. You know, they're running out to get a play that failed.
Springtime for Hitler in Germany. They're going to have
springtime
for Spider-Man.
Yeah, they might as well call it springtime for Spider-Man. Anyway, go ahead.
The executives say the show is, I would say, middling. We could run for probably another 3 to 5 more years being stuck in the middle. But we think it would play much better in Vegas with a greater bang than it ever did in New York. So they're rolling down the dice. They're doubling down. They're thinking that Las Vegas is where they're going to make the money.
Well, I say, and I'm putting this forward now, I say it's not going to happen.
Really?
They'll make money, but not what they think they're going to make. Seriously.
I think maybe the cost will be lesser. Because as we've had guests on our show talk about the unions and things putting together in New York, where you have to pay 5 guys to do one job, one guy to actually do the job, and the other 4 to supervise. I don't think that's anywhere else but New York. So I think the cost will go down. So maybe they'll make the same amount of money, but the costs are going to go down, hence the profit will go up.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, time will tell.
Time will tell, yes.
And speaking of time will tell.
Mr. Segway, time will tell.
It turns.
I just figured I'd take over for Santa while I'm on the phone. Yeah.
In a recent interview with Ben, Trouble Cook?
I like the first name.
Trouble Cook, writer of the newest Die Hard movie, which will be part 6. Yeah. He revealed several of his plans for the franchise. So in part 6, he says in an interview, quote unquote, what can I say? What am I allowed to say? Without spoiling too much, I say that John McClane, is invited to Tokyo by the Nakatomi Corporation to be commended for his bravery and efforts in saving only 36 lives on the 30th anniversary of the hostage crisis. That means it'll be 30 years from the original Die Hard. It is not a double act buddy-buddy story. John McClane will be on his own and should end on his own. Of course, he's had assistants in various guises, aiding him in his ventures, but it's not Lethal Weapon or a Jackie Chan film. McClane is a gunslinger, a retired, worn out, tired, busted, and broken cowboy. Everything he's been through has been taken into account. Yes, it's a movie, but he isn't invincible. He was never James Bond. I see the first movie as a drama with elements with action in it, and it took time to set up the story and unfold great characters. That's an interesting aspect that he would say that, because the last Die Hard movie, he was invulnerable, jumping out of helicopters, flying through buildings, going down chutes.
Yeah.
So it's interesting that he's going to try to bring it back to, I guess, the roots of what Die Hard is.
Yeah, As those movies progress, he gets more and more into superhero status, Bruce Willis, because he's doing much more impossible things. You know, I thought the first one was great, the second one, but I'm telling you, he could survive more crap. I just, and they keep writing it. They keep writing it bigger and bigger and bigger, obviously, to the search for more money. So, you know, why not?
But I think that's always the problem I had with the Die Hard franchise and also 24, because it's very similar. The first season of 24 was very drama-oriented, character development, and action intertwined. But then as it went on, they put more emphasis on the action because people wanted to see more stuff blow up.
Right.
But if you sit back and look at where you start off and where you're at, it's such a far cry from where you started. And I mean, if you think about it, the first Die Hard movie, he was almost taken out by some glass on the floor.
Right.
Glass on the floor. In this last Die Hard movie, he's in Chernobyl without a radiation suit, falling through 2 floors in a building, after getting thrown off by a helicopter.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It gets more and more like, all right, there you go. Let's bring it down a notch. But it's like the same thing with a lot of franchises. The first, I noticed that this might be a weird analogy, a weird reference, but the Lethal Weapon franchise.
Right.
The first one was more or less tongue in cheek, but not that going, you know, for the, all the yucks. Like it had all the laughs. It had him very serious problem wanting to commit suicide, you know, saving that one bullet for himself.
Right.
You know, and then as they progress, the last one's hysterical. I mean, the last one is, it's like the Chucky movies. First one was a little scary. Then by the time you get to Seed of Chucky, it's just ludicrous, you know?
And I always find that that's a very common trend in entertainment, that they usually just go overboard, and then somewhere along the line says, maybe we should get back to our roots.
Yeah.
Like, why don't they just decide to stay with the roots to begin with, and then we'll have a better product along the way?
Yeah. I'm not too terrific with the doll movies, and people ask me, now, hey, what do you think of Chucky? Does Chucky scare you? I said, no, Chucky makes me laugh now.
Yeah, that's they made six Leprechaun movies, and the first one.
Oh yeah, exactly, same thing. Yeah, good point.
He's in outer space. He's in the hood, and he goes back to the hood. Like, is that where we got to? And then someone says, "Hey, we should go back to our roots and become more scary again."
Yeah, let him become a scarier guy. Now he's just, you know.
Or what was that? The Saw movies. Even though I still think overall they were pretty good, if you look at the very first Saw, it was more psychological.
Yeah.
Than, you know, just a gross out factor. And that was because it was a low budget, so you have to use more imagination and ingenuity as opposed to the special effects and going for the wow factor. But who knows what's gonna happen in let's hope this movie comes out to be a good one. Number six. Man. And he also has hinted that Samuel Jackson, who was in the third one, will also reprise his role.
Really?
Yeah. So how about that?
Well, that did add a little something that the two of them, you know, the chemistry between the two of them, it sort of was like a Lethal Weapon chemistry, if you think about it.
Yeah.
You know.
Although I have to say, it is up until part five, it was my worst favorite Die Hard movie. I did not like that one at all.
There you go. So,
let's see. What's the last bit of news?
Hey, speaking about news,
Mr. Segway.
Mr. Segway. Did you see? I was reading this in the paper this week, and I said, "Oh, I hope Mark spots this." And I saved the paper, and it was in my office. And they decided, actually, a very rare moment, they decided to clean the office. They threw the paper out, which they never do. Anyway, I was reading an article where Shia Booth,
my arch enemy,
was in court. He has a battle with his father because his father owes him $800,000.
Wow.
And the judge told them, you know, get together and just settle this. And I'm saying, wow, how do you settle that? And, you know, his father saying, it's the standard. His father saying it's a loan. His father saying it was a gift. He's saying it's a loan, you know, and the judge just says, somebody settle something, you know. So that's going on in your arch enemy's world. I thought you might have seen that.
No, I did not. I wonder how many Batmobiles he can get for $800,000.
I don't know.
But the last bit of news we have here. Speaking of legal battles, wow.
Yeah.
Very nicely done.
And you know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking if the father had any sense, he would just take a running total of what it costs to raise that kid. And say, well, you know, here we go. You owe me money.
Can you imagine anyway, that? And when you become 21, here's the bill for being a child.
I have no idea. I really don't care about it. I have no idea. I just thought you might have seen it.
No.
It would have definitely amused you.
It does. It would have and does.
There you go. All right.
So, like I said, speaking of legal disputes, there's the final say on the Superman legal battle between DC and the Steel and Schuster, the creators of the Superman franchise. For those of you who may not know, there's been a large legal battle going over the rights of who actually owns Superman. And before before they made the Man of Steel, had they had not made a Superman movie, the rights would have been gone back to the original creators. That's why Man of Steel was made. One of the reasons why Man of Steel was made and purposely made to come out at a certain date and time. Turns out that the deal is final, and the judge says, after all appeals were over and done with, that DC, and which is Warner Brothers, legally owns Superman with all rights affirmed against it and any possible heirs or challengers. So that means anybody out there who thought they were going to get a piece of Superman money, they are not, because Warner Brothers, as of right now, owns Superman lock, stock, and barrel.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah, this was, according to this, was going on since 2001. So, yeah. 12 years, so that way Warner Brothers can legally own Superman.
Amazing.
Yeah, that is pretty amazing. I remember at one point, they were saying that the Action Comics, number one, was owned by Siegel and Schuster. And everything after that was owned by Warner Brothers. So whatever was mentioned in the Action Comics, number one, they weren't allowed to use, such as the Kryptonite and certain other things where they were allowed to use. But whatever was in the Action Comics, number one, they couldn't use.
Nice.
So we got all kinds of craziness was going on. And it reminds me of other legal battles that they had in the 90s, in the early 90s. There was a big what to do when Image Comics came out, which was, I guess, for those of you who wouldn't know, it would be like when Fox came out. It was like, you know, they had the big three networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, and then Fox was the upstart network. And so they had the big company, which was Marvel and DC, and then these guys come up and make Image Comics. And they used the talent from Marvel and DC to make their own comic books. And a lot of the comics were very similar to what Marvel and DC had. So Marvel and DC were suing them, saying, hey, those look like our characters. And one which sticks out in my mind was, I think it was called Agent America, was the guy's name. And he looked like Captain America. He had a shield like Captain America. And the artist used pages that he was working on for a Captain America story and made his own book. And so it was a legal battle. And they said, this is true. The judge decided that the guy can use the Agent America costume and rights as long as he didn't throw the shield, because throwing the shield was something that was trademarked by Marvel that only Captain America can do.
Okay.
That's ridiculous. In my mind, it's like, okay, he can look like him, he can act like him, he can carry a shield, but he can't throw the shield because that's a copyright infringement law.
Could he drop the shield? No, that's how stupid this is. You can't throw it. Well, can we drop it? Could you imagine the lawyers coming up with that? Can we drop it?
Can you imagine the judge sitting in front of this case going, all right, wait.
I could just see that loophole. Yes, he dropped the shield into four villains' heads. Yes, he dropped it.
But that's the law for you, folks. Right there is the law for you. So we're ready for our break. We'll be right back with Game Fun Radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music. We'll be right back. Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And we are back where we came from. Radio, this is Joseph Mark Torres speaking along with Charlie Saladino on the phone. That was Batman Returns, the theme. I find it interesting that hearing the entire score, I can see how there's parts of other movies in that score. They also had the Edward Scissorhands, kind of little Edward Scissorhands in there, which was Danny Elfman also. This is very, very interesting to hear. Charlie, you're still there?
Yes.
Okay.
You know what?
What?
You need to, like, talk right into that mic, because when you turn your head, I can't hear you.
Oh, so you want me to talk like this all the time?
There you go. All right. Go ahead.
So this week, we're going to be talking about the TV show Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And as we mentioned last week, there was going to be a tie-in to the new Thor movie. Charlie, have you been watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yes, actually, I saw the Thor movie this morning, and I came back and I watched the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. movie, which it was very fresh, and, you know, so I saw all the thingies and stuff like that, so they pretty much had a whole Asgard theme going on there this week on the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So, and I thought the funniest thing was the line about you think they would have a god of cleaning up after themselves come down.
Yes. I've always thought that there should, in the old days, they had a god for everything. And when I was a kid, I was like, how come there's no such thing as a god of beating up people? Like, that's, you know, I want this guy to get beat up. They would pray to the god of beating up people who come in and beat him
right,
up for
right.
you. But the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was a huge success when it came out. The ratings were the biggest ABC had in over 4 years for an opening show. And each week, it significantly has diminished. With the ratings declining each and every single week. So it is not going up, but it's going down. The show has been getting a lot of backlash. And I saw two episodes back to back, and then I took a break. And then I finally managed to see the remaining episodes the other day because I wanted to catch up and make sure I got all the Thor stuff in there. And I'm sitting there, I'm watching it, and I've come to the conclusion that the show is just not for me. It is, it's just not for me. It's an 8 o'clock show, and I really can't get into it. It's very formulaic.
It's terrible.
Hello, Hassan.
Hello, everyone.
Man, Hassan did not want to miss this because Hassan was like, I want to talk about S.H.I.E.L.D.
I was home when the show came on, and I just ran over here.
I got to talk about this. And he didn't even gingerly walk in. He ran in here.
I ran. I got stuck in traffic, so that was what. Just a full disclosure, I saw Thor. I did not see the
Thor tie-in.
I didn't see the tie-in. I DVR'd it, so I'll be able to watch it probably this evening. But you know what? If we're talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., if you ever watched Firefly, Agents of S.H.I.L.D. is Firefly, right down to them having a ship.
Never watched Firefly.
Well, the plane, the Firefly was basically the ship.
Okay.
And then there was a crew on it that semi got along every now and then, and they pulled heists, they pulled bank jobs and got into trouble. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it's the same formula. It's the same format. Right down to them having a ship, pretty much, if you want to consider it an airplane, you know, their
right.
vehicle conveyance, that's pretty much their base of operations. And then they, you know, they go out on adventures, and people don't trust each other, and people don't really get along, and, you know, sometimes. And then when the chips are down, they all kind of rally together and pull themselves out of it, you know. But it's not doing well, the show. It's suffering. The ratings are suffering. I think I'm trying to be
nice.
Yeah, well, I'm trying
politically
to be
correct.
No, not even politically correct. I'm trying to be, you know, unbiased
fair.
About
right.
it. Yeah, and because I've watched the show. I've watched a couple of episodes, and I've laughed a couple of times. It's good. It's, you know, there are some very clever jokes on it. I do believe it is unfairly being held up against $200 million movies, which unfortunately, you know, it's just not going to be able to compete with, even though it is on a major network. And it's not one of these.
On their network.
Yeah, it's on the, yeah. Well, it's not on the WB. No, I'm sorry. Yes,
it's
yes.
ABC,
yes,
Disney.
It's Disney.
Yeah, Disney's that's, network. That's yeah. their network. Yes, that's why it's still on the air, yes, folks. Yeah. Otherwise, that should have been canceled. Like
exactly.
Nobody's business.
Exactly, because the ratings drop. Yeah. It was a plummet. It was an amazing plummet. Now, I don't think it's fair to compare it to Avengers. And, you know, the Thor movie, Captain America, all that other stuff, because there's no way it can compete. They don't have the money for it. On the other hand, the show shouldn't be relying on this formula. It's really, I think, very drab formula of, and it's a very 90s formula where, you know, they give you everything in half measures. Like nothing ever goes against the wall. No, nothing ever goes as far as it can go. It's always a half measure. It's a little bit of drama and a joke, and then a little bit of drama and a quip, and then a little bit of drama and a joke. And, you know, they're dragging out this Agent Coulson thing, which is, I guess you got to do. I mean, Lost did it for how many years? 8 years?
Seven years.
Okay, so I guess you got to do that. But there's a lot. I think the audience has just grown more mature than this. Even though I'm talking about the masses who typically am against the collective of the world. But it's not mature enough for today's audience. It's very cartoony. It's very much for kids. It's very much like
that's
a kid's
what I was saying.
Show.
It's
yeah.
not for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because you're not a kid.
No, they should.
And I mean, some people get killed and stuff like that. But you're not getting a genuine, like, if you're not a comic book geek, if you're not a Marvel geek, if you're not a Nick Fury geek, you're not getting a genuine understanding of what S.H.I.E.L.D. is, for the most part, how S.H.I.E.L.D. can operate outside of the United States. Like, there's a couple of episodes where they were in Venezuela, they were in, you know, they do all these covert operations all over the place, and you're like, okay, you're not understanding why you can have a hacker who gets recruited by S.H.I.E.L.D., but then she turns into a field agent with very little training. There's a number of things, you know, and then there's other things. Like I saw a recent episode. Excuse me, this will be the end of my rant. I saw a recent episode where one of the characters basically hacks into the mainframe of the S.H.I.E.L.D.
right.
mainframe
yeah.
to get answers that they. I mean, that's treason, you know. And it's first of all, you're like, okay, look, I understand you want to know things and you're subversive because, you know, just by nature of your character, and you don't trust authority. So A, you wouldn't be there if you really were against authority, and B, you do have to come to grips eventually with the fact that you are dealing with a super organization that has laws and rules and ways of doing things, and that they've been doing this for, you know, a couple of decades. And maybe, you know, you deciding that you know better isn't it's just kind of childish and what, and there were no repercussions for it. You
because
know,
she was right.
Well,
that was the thing. She was right.
It was, yeah. But there's still hierarchy. You could be right about a bunch of things, and still you would get busted. You still have to have discipline.
Right.
You know, and an organization that runs like that, that doesn't have, you know, oversight and discipline, is doomed to failure. So, you know, it's not for me. I'm not a big fan of the creative team behind it. Never was. So of course, I have my misgivings. But it seems like that formula is kind of dead and dying, and that's why basically the ratings are plummeting. It's on Disney, so Disney's going to hold on to it as long as humanly possible. But they really, like, everybody's attitude about it after the first episode wasn't, this is great, thank goodness, you know, this is definitely my new favorite show. It was more, I trust Joss Whedon, I trust Disney, I'm going to give it time,
right.
Which is not a great reaction for your test audience on night one. That's not the thing you want to hear.
So what about you, Charlie? Have you been watching it all the way through? Do you share our thoughts? Are you disagreeing with us? What do you think?
I just basically miss Brian. Yeah, if you look around, he's not there. Yeah, I miss Brian. Now, I think I basically am agreeing with all you guys, but I think it's not a bad show if it wasn't tied to Marvel and if it wasn't being compared up to there. It would be a normal, one of your normal good shows that you would see on TV, but I think the whole thing about it not being too terrific is once you tie it to, once you tie it to an organization or to a franchise, then you have a certain, you have a certain responsibility to be great, not just passable, but great. And I think that's the problem. If it wasn't tied to Marvel, if it was just like a fly aside, rented list, sorry, Firefly, type of show, I think it would have been received better. And since it had the responsibility to be the best, it did not measure up to that.
I don't even think it's a responsibility. I think that Disney wanted both ways. They want it to be tying into this thing, but then they want it to be its own thing. So it was the expectations that they put out there themselves, because they kept on saying, oh, from Avengers. Why would they change it to Marvel's Avengers from Shield? Because they want the people to come in.
Right. They want it tied in.
Right.
They want you to have an understanding of it while you're watching it, that this can't possibly meet your expectations.
Which is why whenever they show any part of Avengers in there, or they show parts of they never show the people's faces because they don't want to pay them the money.
Yeah.
It's a lot of behind the scenes stuff, like, well, why don't they just show Thor? Why doesn't Thor just show up? Why doesn't this? And then
it's
a money thing. And then it's on TV, but it's Disney, so they're making tons of money.
And this is the problem. This is like, it's the same as with the Clone Wars thing. When Clone Wars first came out, now this is in the reverse. The Clone Wars came out, it was a cartoon
by
Gedney Tartakovsky or whatever, the guy who does Samurai Jack, I forget his name.
And
they were like 5-minute cartoons in between other cartoons. You know, that's what you got, you know? And everybody was like, we love the Star Wars stuff, but they're always giving it to us in slivers, and this, you know, all this extra stuff is just crap, you know, and they weren't really, I didn't like them that much. I love, you know, anything with the Star Wars label slapped on it, but I thought that those could have been better. And then, you know, cut to a year later, they have the Clone Wars cartoon that comes out, the CGI, you know, semi-live action Clone Wars cartoon.
The movie,
yeah.
Right?
The movie came out,
right.
And then the TV show followed on the Cartoon Network, and everybody loved that show because you got everything you wanted. You know, you got the full. They tried to give you the full experience every half hour. They had your main characters in it, so they didn't throw a bunch of characters in you didn't know, and they said, well, you'll learn to love them. No. It wasn't like the Ewok Adventure or any of that other weird stuff or the Star Wars Christmas special. So they gave you
had all the characters in it.
Yes, but yeah, half of them were high. But that's neither here nor there. So that lasted 5 solid years of just you getting Obi-Wan, Anakin, all the main characters, and people loved it. People were absolutely thrilled with it. And then Disney came along, they bought Star Wars, canceled it. Thank you, Disney. Thanks a lot, guys. thanks, Mickey. This Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. thing is kind of like that first cartoon where it's like, you're kind of getting what you want. You're kind of getting your Avengers fix, but you're pretty much not. We're kind of not giving it to you. We're going to give you the label and placate you and make you think, you know, it's a placebo. They make you think that you're getting, you know, more of what you love, but you're really not getting it at all. Where if they were smart and if they changed the format to an extent, they can actually have a year-long advertisement for every one of their movies from now on. If they've played it smart, but they're trying to play it cheap and they're tongue-in-cheeking it, you know, all the way through, and people are not standing for it.
Since you didn't see the tie-in, I'm going to go with Charlie on this one.
Okay.
Charlie, remember when in the Thor tie-in, it was only tied in for like 2 minutes, and then the rest was not tied in at all.
The rest was...
What a surprise.
It was tied in... And they made the fun joke about the god of cleaning up.
Yeah.
And then it went bye-bye, but it kept the Asgard theme.
Right. It kept the theme,
It kept the theme.
We were talking about the whole... For weeks, we were like, oh, it's going to be a big Thor tie-in, So I thought they were going to do something like when Back to the Future 2, when they were in between... You know, Back to the Future 1, when he went back in time, and there was like happening stuff while stuff was going on.
That takes really good writing, and lots of money.
Or like, hey, over there, that happened. All right, let's go do something else.
Look at that dead guy. Let's go that way.
I think now that they have this show, this is just my opinion, I think the better way to go wouldn't be to reference the movies on the TV show. It would be to reference the TV show in the movies, because I think that that would give the show more credibility, because the movies are blockbusters. So I think that's the way they should go, because, for instance, in the new Thor, she made a reference. I've been trying to get in touch with S.H.I.E.L.D. Nobody's getting back to me.
Yeah, right. Because, you know, S.H.I.E.L.D. has a 1-800 number that you could just, that an average citizen can just call.
Right, but I think
the super secret government organization has a number you can call.
Yeah, I think that's, I don't know if you guys agree with me on that, but
I absolutely agree.
Yes, that's actually one of the, if not the best, Charlie Saladino ideas you've ever had in all the years you've been on the show.
Now that's right up there with ABC.
That's right up there with signing anybody's book.
Yes,
that's right.
Which is still possible if anybody wants to do that.
Yeah. So this is like,
but they're very hard to prepare. But you can do it. I mean, they could have had Coulson in Thor,
right,
if they were thinking about it, and then he could have made a reference, and then people would have been watching the show, you know, and they maybe Coulson's in Captain America, because that's got a very heavy S.H.I.E.L.D. overtone,
right?
So we'll see, but you know, Coulson wasn't in Thor, he wasn't in Iron Man 3. I'm sure they were keeping keeping Coulson out of Iron Man 3 for the reveal of the TV show, not to ruin that surprise. But they could have tied it in with other characters. Well, they also
could have tied it in. I'm sorry about that, Hassan. Nope. But they also could have tied it in at the end of Thor, where
the tag on ending.
Scientists just meet him and say, "We'll take it over from here." Yeah. You know, and go back into the building, and then
that
would have been great.
Would have took over from that.
See that? This is what I'm talking about. Like,
that would have made me watch the show. That would have made me watch the next episode.
If they would have gone out of their way to have both hands. I mean, Disney and ABC are pushing the TV show.
Yeah.
But they're not pushing the movies onto the TV show. They're pushing, you know what I'm saying? It's like, if the movies were like, all right, you go watch our show now, as opposed to give us more money, wait for the next big blockbuster movie, go watch the TV series while you're waiting.
Yeah, this will be a holdover. This will hold you over until our next blockbuster comes.
And make it a little bit more interesting. Make the characters more likable. I think that would help, because I'm sitting there, these people are in perilous, quote-unquote, situations every week, and I'm like, I really don't care. Yeah. What's going on with Coulson? That's pretty much why I'm still watching it.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And everybody will be now, they will be enjoying the big blockbuster movies and looking forward to the little S.H.I.E.L.D. references at the end or in the middle of the movies, and then go back and watch the program. You know, that's, to me, that's the big way to go, because this way is not, well, like you said, Mark, the reference they had, you know, they've been saying it all week, and they're just a cleanup crew. And then that's it. Goodbye.
Yeah.
You know, and then we got the guy from Ghostbusters too, who we find out, you know, he's from
I don't know what that reference is. I haven't seen it.
Neighborhood there. You'll know when you see the agent.
But it's a formulaic show. I mean, it's called formula for a reason, you know. And formulas do work.
It's just, you know what it is. It's just, there's nothing compelling about it, because because of the formula, you know basically what's going to happen next. It's one of those things where it's not going to. I mean, eventually they're going to kill one of them off to try to give you a kind of a boost, because that's the Joss Whedon
thing they're
going to
do. It's an 8 o'clock show. I mean,
I think they will. Probably either before the end of the season, or at the end of the season, they're going to kill one of the main characters off, and then that'll be an excuse for them to get new blood in there. But also, it'll be like, oh, Whedon's a genius, because he's making us love these characters, and he's killing them off. He's not afraid. He's not afraid to kill these characters off.
Well, they have to figure out how to get Colby Summers back, because she's going to be available next year.
I was going to say, there's that whole water, because people are going to say, oh, yeah, but they're going to kill him off, and they're going to bring him back like Colton, you know.
That's true.
And that's what the problem is. That's why when you cure death, you ruin a lot of things. Although Coulson may not have been cured, he might be just something else, and the real Coulson might be dead. Right. We don't know what the deal is. So, I mean, they might even get rid of Coulson, which would be one of their bigger mistakes, because he's the only real
A lot of draw. People, why people are still watching, yeah. I like Coulson. He's, you know, his character is interesting, but I don't, drawing this out for too long is, may not be the, another, it I think it's another is. Misstep, because as Stephen King said, they're never going to be able to come up with whatever you come up with. It's never going to be as good. So right. So the longer they drag this out, we're thinking of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, they're going to have... And then you're like, oh, he had a cold. Like, wait, was that, what? That was it? That was the whole time?
Yeah.
So...
Well, this is like the, you know, the new adventures of old Colton, if you get that reference.
Yes, I get it.
Oh, thank you.
Which was a brilliant show, by the way. One of my favorite shows.
I love that show. But anyway, in this episode, and I'm not going to ruin it for Hassan because I'm not Herman. he makes the biggest reference to the, you know, the Colton debt thing. I mean, yeah. Colton makes the biggest reference that he has been... You know, he made ever, you know, so watch the show, and I still am, you know, like, well, what really did happen, you know?
Yeah. But so we have 2 minutes left, so you want to do a final vote there, Charlie?
Yeah, well, I'm just going to stick with my original idea of, you know, have the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. incorporated into the blockbusters, you know, even if it's a second, a minute, it'll make the series more interesting.
Hassan?
Good evening, everyone. My name is Hassan Godwin, and welcome to It Came From the Radio.
I would say my final thought would be, as you just mentioned, there was a show called Sledgehammer. At the end of season one, they blew up Chicago, and yes. They killed the main characters, and the second season, they didn't know what to do, so the writer came out and said, we don't know what to do, so we're going to bring you Sledgehammer to the early years. So right there, that's
you know what's funny? Writing. I always wondered how that followed out, because I did see the episode where they blew up Chicago, and I was like...
He came out, it was a guy in a suit.
But they were canceled. They thought they were canceled.
Yeah, so they're like, yeah, whatever, but...
Yeah, and then they came back, and then they were like, but we blew up
Chicago and the main characters, and so, yeah, that's what happened.
We had Mrs. O'Leary's cow kick over that ball. That's it.
So that about does it for this week on It Came From the Radio. Join us right here and every week on WGBB. Thanksgiving is coming up, so be thankful for whatever you have.
I'm thankful.
And we will see you next week.
Take it easy.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.
Views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owner of WGBB.